Let's start tonight in Song of Solomon, chapter number 4. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. I was telling the young people in the Bible Institute today that I made a number of goals for myself when I was just a very young man way back in the day. And one of them was I wanted to preach, to teach every verse of every book of the Bible by the time I was 60 years old. And I was 59 and had them all done but one, and I had hoped the Lord would come before I had to teach Song of Solomon. And what made it twice as difficult is my mother's in our church, and Song of Solomon's awkward enough without your mom sitting there looking at you, waiting for you to explain why it's nice to have teeth like a flock of goats and nose like a cucumber and all that stuff that's in there that nobody understands. But I came across the verse in studying the Song of Solomon, and it just brought me to a halt. I couldn't make any sense of it. I didn't know which direction to go with it. Song of Solomon, you teach it three or four different ways, and either all three or four are right, or it doesn't matter because nobody knows if they're right or not. It's just a very strange book. But some say that it's type of Christ, and some say it's just a lesson about husbands, and some say all these different things. However you approach it, chapter 4 and verse 7 doesn't work. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Now, there's a lot of things that are said in the Song of Solomon that just sound like a guy over the top trying to impress a girl, and I get that. I know you guys do it all the time. You come home, tell your wife how beautiful she is and how much you love her and how you couldn't live a day without her. If she's bored with that, you do it so often, but once in a while, it wouldn't hurt, guys. Anyway, but if this is Christ speaking, it doesn't seem truthful. If this is God speaking or allowing Solomon to speak of any person walking the earth, it doesn't seem truthful. Thou art all fair, my love. What bridegroom could honestly say that to his bride? And I thought, well, it's Christ speaking to the church, but I know the church better than that. The church is not all fair. And then he says, there is no spot in thee. Again, if the best you can do with it is Christ speaking to his church, but that doesn't seem like his church. And so I thought, well, the only way I get to the bottom of this is I'll run all the references in the Bible to spots. And I started running all the references in the Bible to spots, and I ran into a Bible word called blemishes. And I thought, well, what better way to close out a Bible conference or revival meeting than talking about blemishes and spots? I mean, that certainly thrills my heart. How about yours? So let's pray together, and we'll see if we can get this to go where I hope we can take it tonight. Father, our intention this evening is to study from your word what you've said about blemished individuals and what you've said about spotted individuals, and we hope, Father, we pray, we ask that you would lead us and guide us into a truth that will draw us closer to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask and pray these things in his precious and holy name. Amen. All right, so let's set out just a couple of the many places we could go in our Bible. Come to Exodus chapter number 12. Exodus 12, if you know much about Scripture, you know this is the great chapter on the Passover night when God himself will come through the land of Egypt. And he will smite the firstborn in all the land unless he sees the blood of that lamb upon the doorpost. And the Bible says here in Exodus 12, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. What's about to happen is going to be so dramatic, we're going to change the entire calendar and make this New Year's. That's a big event. That's a mighty big event. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. So what God tells them, everybody needs a lamb. Everybody in the house needs a lamb. Everybody in the neighborhood needs a lamb. I'm coming through town tonight. If you want to live and not die, you better have a lamb. Amen. All right, now look at verse number 6. You should keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. That's the very day on the calendar they nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. The 14th day of the first month on the Hebrew calendar. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. You remember? They cried, away with him, crucify him. And they said, his blood be on us and on our children. That congregation was responsible for his death, as was preached to them in the book of Acts. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat of the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. There's two things they got to do. They got to put that blood out there on display for God to see it. They can't put a baptismal certificate out there. They can't put a church membership card out there. They can't hang their lodge bracelet out there or their prayer beads out there. God's got to see blood when he comes through. If he doesn't see the blood of the lamb, they're dead. If he sees the blood of the lamb, they can live. But they also, not only do they put the blood out there on the doorpost, but they take that lamb and they consume it. They take that lamb into themselves. You want to be saved? You better trust the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the Lamb of God for your salvation. And then the scripture says in verse number 9, eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire. Jesus cried on that cross, I thirst, his head with his legs, with the pertinence thereof, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. They begged the body from Pilate. They took the body down off the cross that very evening, and that which remaineth of it, until morning he shall burn with fire. Jesus Christ was not burned in fire. He didn't remain until the morning. They took him down, they buried him. And thus shall ye eat of it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. They didn't just put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost so they could be saved from death. They didn't just eat that lamb so they could be saved from death. It was the beginning of a brand new life. We're leaving Egypt. We're on the way to the promised land. We're not going to eat the blood and stay where we've been. We're not going to eat the lamb and stay where we've been. We're not going to put the blood on the doorpost and continue to be slaves in Egypt. We're getting out of here. Praise the Lord. Jesus doesn't just save you, he relocates you. He'll translate you from the power of darkness into the light and so forth. So verse 12 says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you, destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. I believe that's true to this very day. You want to be saved? Take the blood of Jesus Christ. I was glad you sang about the blood on Monday night. I was glad you sang about the blood on Tuesday night. I'm glad this church hadn't forgotten about the blood of Jesus Christ. It's out of the liberal church. It's out of the modern church. It's out of the squeamish and cowardly church. It's not out of God's book. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We have redemption through his blood. There's no other way to be saved than through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then this day should be unto you for a memorial, and you should keep a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. And so what do? We remember his broken body, and we remember his shed blood. We have a memorial when we take that, participate in that communion service, all of that pictured here in Exodus chapter 12. But I skipped a verse, and I did it on purpose. Verse number 5, your lamb, and you got to have a lamb, but you can't have any old lamb. Your lamb, and you got to have a lamb, but it has to be a specific lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Now here's what they had to do. They had to go out into all of those sheep coats and in all of those pastures and all of those barnyard situations, and they couldn't just go out there and grab the first animal they came to. They had to take that animal and look right in those sweet little eyes and right at the tip of that little nose, and they had to run that thing all the way back to that tiny little tail wagging back there at the end of that lamb, and then from the sole of its foot up to the top of its back, and they had to look and see, is there any scurvy? Is there any defect? Is there any blindness? Is this a piece of junk animal I want to get rid of? That's the condemnation in Malachi. They were bringing God their junk animals. Lord said, I want a lamb that is unblemished. I want the very, very best animal you've got. That's the one I want you to offer me. Now, this is real interesting. We're not talking about a blemished ram. We're not talking about a blemished ewe. We're talking about a little lamb that has no blemish. A blemish, biblically, defining this thing as we would if we could run all the Bible verses, is a defect that animal was born with. If that animal arrived on the scene with three legs when there should have been four, with one ear when there should have been two, with a bald spot over here where there should have been wool, that animal is blemished. It is born defective. And the Lord said, I will not accept that. Though it is a lamb, it's not an unblemished lamb. Though you bring me its blood, it's not the blood of an unblemished sacrifice. I want you to remember. Every year, I want you to keep a memorial and remember that you were redeemed by the blood, not of any lamb, but of an unblemished lamb. That's what God established in His Word was required to redeem those people from death and from bondage. Now, come to Leviticus chapter number 1. Book of Leviticus and chapter number 1. We're going somewhere tonight. It'll take a while to get there, but stay with me and see if the Lord will help us here. Leviticus chapter 1 and verse number 1. Leviticus 1:1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. He shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. The priest Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the congregation. Now, what do we have? This time we're not seeking redemption. This time we're seeking atonement. We're not trying to be delivered from the bondage of our sin. This time we're trying to have a relationship with God that has been severed and broken, reestablished. We're looking for reconciliation between the sinner and the Lord. And here's what the Lord said. I don't want to kill you, but something's got to die. I don't want you to suffer, but something's got to suffer if we're going to make this thing right. Sin's got to be paid for. And the Lord said, you know what? You don't have to do this. But if you don't do it, there'll be no atonement. See what he said? It's a voluntary offering. If you want to get right with me, if you want our relationship to be patched up, here's what I want you to do. I want you to bring me a bullock, and I want you to put your hand on that animal and say, God, would you take this animal instead of me? God, would if this animal gives its life, can I keep my life? If this animal sheds its blood because of my sin, will you not require that my blood be shed because of my sin? And the Lord said, I'll do that under one condition. Don't bring me a junk animal. You bring me a bullock that is without blemish. I don't want your crippled animal. I don't want your animal that won't breed. I don't want your animal that's got its head sideways. You've got to look that thing over from stem to stern, from top to bottom. And everywhere you look, you have to see what you're supposed to see. Our children have never forgiven us for the homeschool unit we did when we put them in the 4-H club and they had to do cattle judging. And Thanksgiving, birthdays, anytime we get together, somehow or another, it always gets back to 4-H cattle judging and having to look at the cow and make sure its back was just the right proportions and its back legs and its front legs. And you say, why'd you do that to them? Because we were dumb. We We thought it'd help and be beneficial. Who knew they wouldn't grow up to be cattle ranchers in Texas? But anyway, we just thought it'd be cool. They didn't. Anyway, but something I did learn through all that, besides if I have grandkids, they're not going to be in 4-H cattle judging because they'll hate me for it, that there's a lot that goes into the perfect cow. Things I never thought about. I never thought about looking at the hoof to see if the hoof's, put together just right. But you know what the Lord said? You better know something about those animals. And if you don't know something about them, you better find an expert, and you better bring me the very best animal you got. I want one that was born without defect. We can make an atonement through the substitutionary sacrifice of that bullock, but only if it's unblemished. We can make redemption through the sacrifice of that lamb, but only if it's unblemished. Everybody see that? All right, let's just set that aside and we'll get back to it. Now, turn with me in your Bible to Job chapter number 11, and let's talk about spots for a minute. If blemishes are defects with which an animal is born, spots are defects that are acquired along the way. Biblically. We're talking biblically now. Look in your Bible in Job chapter number 11. And the Bible says in verse number 14. Job 11 verse 14. If iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away. And let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. For then thou shalt lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear. So, I've got a passage here that says, if I take these hands and I reach out with these hands and I lay hold upon something that I shouldn't lay hold upon, when I lift up my face to God, I will be spotted. How about that? The Bible says, if when I walk through the doors of my house, I bring things into my house that should not be there, I bring things into my tabernacle that don't belong there, when I lift up my face to God, I will be spotted. That's really interesting. You know something, when you guys first got saved, I'm not talking those you got saved at 7, 8, 9 years old, thank God if you did. But you got saved 18, 25, 30 years old. You know something? Before the preacher even preached on it, you were getting stuff out of your house that you knew wouldn't be pleasing to God. Before the preacher said a word about it, you were throwing stuff in the dumpster. You were having fires in the backyard. You didn't want that in your home. You didn't want that in your living room. You didn't want to look at that. You didn't want to listen to that. The music started to go, and the movies started to go, and then some of the language started to go, and the beer went, and the drug. You cleaned house. Praise the Lord. And you know what happens? I tell you, the minute you start to get cold on God, the minute we start to backslide, you know what happens? We start carrying things across the threshold and through that door and bringing them back into our house and back into our tabernacle that once upon a time when we were on fire for God, we got them out of the house. Isn't that right? They're not sins we were born with. They're things we reached out for and picked up along the way. Isn't that right? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, those things render us, in the eyes of God, spotted. Spotted. Look in your Bible in James chapter number 1. Book of James in chapter number 1. James chapter 1. I want to live a good life. I really do. I want to live a clean life. I intend to. I want to be a good Christian. I believe you do too. You've been here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. Praise the Lord. Watch this. James chapter 1 verse 27. Pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. To keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, let's be honest, guys. Let's be honest, ladies. There are things that I do, there are things that you do, that I willingly, voluntarily reach out with my hands and lay hold upon things that are displeasing to the Lord, and I latch on to things that I got no business having in my life. It's deliberate. It's willful. I bring things. You bring things. We all bring things into our car through the radio, or into our home through the mail, or we go out and buy. You understand? Those are things we do on purpose. But I'm going to tell you something else. As much as I try to be a 100% sold out, dedicated Christian for God, this world just throws spots on me. This world just gets me dirty. I'm not looking to get dirty. It just gets me dirty. Let's say tonight we said, you know what? We're done with cussing. No more cussing. We're not going to be around cussing. We're not going to be around people that cuss. And we all come to the altar and say, praise God, God, I love you. No more cussing in my life. You'll have to quit your job. I don't want to hear those words, but the world throws them in my ears. We went to eat with the pastor yesterday, and we were sitting eating, we're talking, having fellowship, and I just, every single time the track would change, I would think, I wish I didn't know that song. 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 I didn't grow up in a church like this. I didn't grow up with Christian music and gospel singing. And I'm sitting there trying to fellowship with other Christians, and the world is saying, remember this? Remember that? Remember where you were when you did this? You understand what I'm saying? Well, praise the Lord, bless God, I'm separated from the world. I'm not going to have anything to do with this world. They got TVs in the gas pumps now. Can you guys not leave me alone? Stop it already. They're just bombarding me. It's like walking down the sidewalk and there's mud along the road, and the cars just deliberately hit the mud holes and splash it up all over me. You know it's true. You guys say, you know what, I'm done. I'm not looking at dirty pictures anymore. I'm not looking at dirty movies anymore. My eyes, I'm going to sanctify my eyes. You go to this grocery store, man, there's women there dressed like harlots. You can't tell the prostitutes from the moms anymore. I'm just telling you. You say, well, I'm not going to look at women that are wearing things they shouldn't wear. Your boss is probably wearing stuff she shouldn't wear. Your coworker's wearing stuff she shouldn't wear. Your next door neighbor's out taking out the garbage and she looks like she forgot to get dressed. It's crazy. I'm just telling you. To get through this world unspotted, I don't see any way to do it. Sometimes I try, sometimes I don't. But on the days that I try, I end up at the end of the day as defiled as on the days when I wasn't trying. You understand what I'm saying? You can't. I don't see how you can walk through this world as messed up as it is now and not hear things you shouldn't hear, and see things you shouldn't see, and think about things you shouldn't think about. It's a constant battle to rein in and keep your mind stayed on Jesus Christ. Now, that being said, I want you to come with me to Romans chapter number 5. For redemption, we need a sacrifice that's not defective at birth. For atonement, we need a sacrifice that's not defective at birth. For fellowship with God and a relationship with God, we got to be able to lift up our hands, lift up our face to God, and have Him see no spot in them. So the Bible says this in Romans 5. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So I got a big problem. I got a really, really big problem. I need to be redeemed. And there's not a single man living on the face of the earth that can make that redemption. Because every single man that's ever been born into this world is blemished. There's something wrong with him. He's got Adam's sin passed down to him. I can't offer John the Baptist. I can't offer Elijah. I can't offer Mary. I'm sunk. I need to be reconciled to God. I need an atonement. And I look. I can't offer myself to God. I'm blemished. Then I look at my life. I look at your life. I look at the life of Paul or Peter or John or Isaiah or Moses. Everybody's spotted. Everybody's defiled. Everybody's a sinner. It's a disaster. You know, the world, I don't want you to think I'm approving of what they do. But deep down in their heart, the world gets this. Our culture has advanced beyond the so-called primitive religions. But you know what they did in primitive times? You know what they do in the most backward places of the world, if that's the right word to use? When they're going to sacrifice to their God, they don't throw him the town drunk. They bring him a virgin. They don't throw a murderer in the fire and say, God, will this keep the tornado away? They throw a virgin in the fire. They're wrong. But they get it. If I'm going to make peace with God, it's going to take somebody better than me. You know what you read about in the Old Testament? It's horrible. It's a terrible sin. But you know what they would do? They would offer their babies to Moloch. They would offer their babies to Baal. You say, I can't think of anything more horrible than that. I understand that. But what they're saying in the midst of all their terrible darkness, they're saying, maybe if we get one to God before it's done something really bad. The trouble is, even that little baby's blemished. The trouble is, even that 15-year-old virgin is spotted by the world. There just isn't any way for me to be redeemed. There just isn't any way for you to be reconciled to God. Why, it would take somebody being born into this world as a man that didn't come from Adam. Somebody would have to be born who was an unblemished lamb. And somebody would have to live and die having walked through this world their entire life unspotted. Anybody want to guess who that might be? You see, if there's no virgin birth, there's no Savior. If there's no virgin birth, there's no redemption. If there's no virgin birth, there's no atonement. The Jesus of the Jehovah's Witnesses is just one more sinner. The Jesus of the liberal church, the Jesus of the modernists, he can't die for your sins. He got to die for his own. He's blemished. He's spotted. He's no good. Now I want to read you a verse that I have read thousands of times. I'm not exaggerating. I've preached from hundreds of times. I'm not exaggerating. And until I was studying this verse in Song of Solomon and going as we're going tonight, I never read this verse like it was written. I want you to come with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want to show you something that's a real blessing. It's an incredible blessing. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 18. You can quote it. I could quote it. I just didn't pay attention to it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Stop. Aren't we glad we're redeemed by the blood of Christ? Isn't it a blessing we're redeemed by the blood of Christ? Isn't it great to preach and sing about redemption by the blood of Christ? Ah, but watch. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. There he is. Just like Exodus 12, it's not just a lamb. It's a lamb that Pilate examined. It's a lamb that the high priest brought witnesses to examine. It's a lamb that Judas examined. It's a lamb that the Holy Spirit examined. And the Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, Father, I looked him over. There's no spot. Father, I watched him every day of his life. There's no blemish. Hallelujah. They brought in Judas. John 6:71 says Judas was a devil. And the Lord said, all right, you devil, what do you got to say? He said, I betrayed the innocent blood. Let's bring in human government. Pilate, what do you got to say? I find no fault in this man. I've examined him. I find no fault in this man. You know who Jesus Christ is? He's not just the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb who arrived here with no blemish from Adam's fall and no blemish from Adam's transgression. Praise God. And he's a Lamb that walked through this world and grew to manhood and said, I do always those things that please the Father. I am holy. I am harmless. I am undefiled. I am separate from sinners. Praise the Lord. That's not just any old lamb out of the flock. That's the one that arrived here with the ability to make redemption. That's the one who lived here and died here with the ability to make atonement. You know what the Lord wants you to do? He wants you to stop pretending you're not blemished and stop bragging about how few spots you have and stop trying to rub away and wash away your spots. He wants you to come and put your hands on that lamb and say, God, will you accept this sacrifice? If he dies, can I live? If he sheds his blood, will you not punish me? Praise the Lord. I'll put that blood on the doorpost. I'll receive that lamb. And God the Father says, I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll let him die and I'll let you live. Praise God. Man, that's such a blessing. Such a blessing. And that's how I got saved. I trusted that unblemished lamb. That's how I entered into a relationship with the Father. I trusted that lamb without spot. Isn't it wonderful that those words are in that verse? He's not just a lamb without blemish. He's a lamb without spot. He's not just a lamb without spot. He's a lamb without blemish. He's not just a lamb. He's an unblemished, unspotted lamb. There's no sin in him. So he can take our sins upon him and be our substitute. Praise the Lord. Would you believe it can get better than that? It gets even better than that. Remember Monday night we said we're saved, but we're not saved to the uttermost? Remember that? Come with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I've read this chapter more than I've read 1 Peter chapter 1. I've preached out of this chapter more than I've preached out of 1 Peter chapter 1. And I've used this chapter in dozens, maybe hundreds of very unpleasant marriage counseling sessions. You want to be a blessing to your pastor? Can we get off track here just for a second? You want to be a blessing to your pastor? Either the husband or the wife arrange a meeting with your pastor and say, we need to talk to you about our marriage. And come and sit in his office and tell him how much you love each other and how great things are going and how it couldn't be better. Wouldn't that be a blessing? But when somebody comes to the pastor, I need to meet with you. It's always bad. Why does it have to always be bad? I feel like a police officer. Call a cop one time. I need two policemen over here right away. And then just serve them lunch. What's the problem? Nothing. You guys are doing a great job. Appreciate it. Here's a sandwich. Well, we use this passage in our marriage counseling, and with good reason. And I'll tiptoe through some of these verses together with you. Look at verse number 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That men like to start at verse 22, but God starts at verse 21. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You know, there's some ladies in this country, none here. They are so frustrated. They signed up and they bought the Amazon Prime. And it seems like a great idea. You can go on there and you type in there, I mean, anything. Vacuum cleaner, dishwasher, hair products, vacation, I mean, anything you want, you just type it in there. And they go in there and they decide what they want. They sit down to the computer and they type it in and they find what they want and they pick the right size and the right color and they hit a little button and it goes in the shopping cart. And then they find something else they want, they hit a little button and it goes in the shopping cart. And man, this is great, it's going great. And they go to checkout, and they type in the name and the address and the credit card information. And in 2 days, all this stuff going to be at my house. And then there's a little square comes up, and it says, submit. and they just freeze. They just... they can't reach out their arm and hit that button. Just... So close and yet so far. No one here, but wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Fellows, if you were more like the Savior, you might have a better chance of getting a little of what we just read about here. You've got to submit to me because the Bible says so. And the Bible doesn't say I got to submit to somebody that's nothing like Jesus Christ. You're kind of supposed to be as unto the Lord, right? Is he nodding? Is he? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That'd go a long way. I don't mind submitting to Jesus because he loves me so much. He laid down his life for me. Come on, guys, make it easy for her. 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Isn't that great? Now, let's look what it says. Did Christ love himself, love the church? Yes. Did Christ give himself to the church? Yes. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Do you know what Jesus Christ is going to do for his bride? You know what Jesus Christ is going to do for his church? One day, a trumpet is going to sound. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't need to know. I don't know exactly where and when he's going to do it. I don't need to know. But you know what he said he's going to do? When I am presented to Jesus Christ at that altar for us to be married, He will have taken every spot out of my life. Everything I ever laid hold upon that I shouldn't have, everything I ever brought into my home that I shouldn't have, everything the world ever threw on me that shouldn't have been on me, my Savior is going to cleanse me from every spot. Isn't that amazing? It's incredible. Right now, my sins are paid for. One day, my sins will be completely gone. Hallelujah. And I'll never come back. But it's even better than that. Without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And without blemish. You know what he's going to do for you? When that Bible says you're predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. When that Bible says when we see him, we shall be like him. Who cares what you're going to look like? You're going to be like him. You know what he's going to do? He's not just going to cleanse me of the spots. He's going to take out of me what Adam put in me that made me susceptible to those spots in the first place. He's not just going to cleanse me from what I did. He's going to go all the way back to the start and cleanse me of what I was and what I am that makes me do what I do. Isn't that amazing? What's my struggle right now? Two natures, old man, new man. One of these days, new man only. Flesh, spirit, flesh, spirit, flesh, spirit. One day, spirit. Praise the Lord. I have a redeemer, but he's not finished. I have one who's made an atonement, but he's not finished. I still struggle to live for the Lord that I love because I'm blemished. I still struggle to maintain a good testimony because I'm spotted. One day, we're going to walk down that aisle and meet our bridegroom, and somehow or another, he will have taken away everything that sin ever did to us. He will take away everything the fall ever did to us. I'll never hurt you again. You'll never hurt me again. I'll never sin against the Lord again. You'll never sin against the Lord again. It's going to be amazing to be like Christ. Right now, there's no one who's ever lived who lived without spot and without blemish but Jesus Christ. One day, everyone who lives will be living without spot and without blemish because of the power and the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. We're saved, but we're not as saved as we're going to be. Now come back to Song of Solomon chapter 4. Song of Solomon chapter 4. However you picture the marriage of the Lamb in Revelation 19, we're not going to argue about that tonight. If you think our earthly marriages are sort of look like that, that's okay. That's not the point. Someday, we're going to meet Jesus Christ face to face. And when we meet him face to face, there will be nothing left in us that Adam did. There'll be nothing left in us that sin wrought. Everything seen in us will be the work of our blessed Redeemer and our glorious Savior. Our bridegroom will have ironed out every wrinkle. He will have cleansed every spot. He will remove the blemish. You read that. And one day, Jesus Christ, who doesn't lie, is going to look at you and say, "Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." And he won't be lying. He will have accomplished that for us. Isn't that amazing? if the rapture takes place tonight, you will never again say, Lord, I'm sorry I did that. Lord, I wish I hadn't looked at that. God, please take that out of my heart. God, please, all those things we talked about Monday night that we need to be praying about, never again. Never again. When we see Jesus tonight, we see a lamb without blemish and without spot. When we see him face to face, he will see us without blemish and without spot. You can't do that for yourself, but he will do that for you. Praise the Lord. One day I won't just be saved from what I've done. I won't just be saved from what I'm doing. I'll be saved from the very things that make it happen. When we see him, we shall be like him. What a blessed hope.